Janine, your wife, she was saying that, yeah, Chris is a open book. He gabs. He's got the gift of the gab. He'll go to the supermarket. He'll strike up a conversation with anyone, anywhere. Is that true?
It is, actually. It's yeah, I'll talk to most people, say g'day and ask them how their day's going. And it's funny you say that. This morning I was doing the grocery shopping and the lady at the self-service checkout was having a bit of a morning. Nothing was working for her. Machines were dying.
Yep.
And I just sort of said to her, I said, you know, how's your day going? And she just let me know all about her day and how bad it was going. And I sort of said to her, oh, well, you know, I hope your day improves and you're doing a great job. And she sort of said to me, she said, oh, thank you for being so patient. Thank you for being a nice customer.
Oh, that's nice. Hey everyone, welcome to the A to Z Work podcast by CPE. You've got me, Zeke, here, and today I'm not joined by my April. She's away, but that's okay. And today, without April, I've got a very special guest with me. Some of you may know him, some of you might not. His name is Chris Lawrence. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Zeke. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. Now, Chris, you've been coming to our church for a little while, and I'm really keen to get to know you today. So we'll have a chat about who you are, what you do generally, and yeah, just a few of the things that we heard on Sunday. So Chris, how about you introduce yourself? Who are you, mate? What do you do? I don't know. I suppose that's more than enough already. Who are you and what do you do?
Thanks, Zeke. Zeke said, my name's Chris Lawrence. I am married to Janine. Have two wonderful daughters, Maddie and Tegan, both grown up now. And a soon-to-be son-in-law, actually, so in early next year. So.
Wow, next year. How does that feel to have... When was the first time you met young fella?
Young Matthew? I met Matthew... they've been dating 3 years now, I think it is.
Yep.
Yeah, so about 3 years ago.
Yeah,
fair. And he's a lovely fellow, Matthew. Yeah, he's... really cares for Tegan, really looks after Tegan.
Yeah.
And it's also good to have some brotherly support at the dinner table.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. So he's on your side already. I remember hearing when he was first introduced that you didn't play the hard dad or anything. You were the nice guy straight away. Is that true?
No, none of that. I joke with my friends that, you know, who have daughters as well, that we'll give the boyfriends a hard time.
Yep,
but I think deep down, no, I didn't give him too hard a time. Matt likes sport as well, so that's a good thing.
Yep. So when he came in, he was already on your side. I think made a good first impression, and obviously good to have some, as you said, brotherly support at the dinner table. So you've got two girls, you've got a wife, and I can't imagine over 20 odd years, what that must have been like. Do you bond well with your girls? I mean, is it always you against them, or is it what's the dynamic like normally?
As they're getting older, it's me against them, definitely. Yes, they seem to know how to get at dad from both sides.
Right.
In good banter, but no, it's. I hope that I have bonded well with them over the years.
Yep.
I think the girls know that they have our trust and our confidence, and they can come and talk to us, you know, about anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, even, you know, just watching Tegan and Matthew's relationship sort of flourish it's been a gift from God, really.
Yeah,
As a dad, to sort of think, you know, that there's a... There's a lovely Christian male out there who's willing to look after my daughter. It really, I suppose, makes me feel very pleased, very chuffed, I guess,
a dad. Yeah, I suppose that's the thing, hey, that I can imagine giving your daughter away. That must be such a difficult thing to do, and there's no better way to do it than someone you can trust. I suppose that's probably... Yeah, a little bit of what you're alluding to. And I mean, all in good fun. I know as I am a son-in-law of someone, yeah, sometimes I do a bit of a lighthearted ribbing as well. And that's when you know you're really in. it's not a proper, all of them against you, but it's just, lighthearted ribbing. So, yeah, I mean, tell us a little bit, Chris, about your life. So you've got a family, you know, two girls and the wife. You've also, you know, what do you do for work? And then obviously family life's a big part of it as well. Yeah, describe all the big chunks of your life. What do you reckon they might be?
So, as I said, married with two daughters. I was born in South Africa, in Cape Town. I moved to Australia with mum and dad in 1979. I was only sort of seven at the time, so quite young. Did the usual sort of, you know, going through school. Loved sport.
Yep.
And I guess that's where my love of sport still today comes from.
Yeah, right. What are the current sports on your hit list?
To be quite honest with you, Zeke, I'll watch just about anything. I love sport. I love the way sport can, you know, bring people together and it unfolds in different ways and just
tears them apart as well.
It does. It does, yeah. But it also, it's unpredictable as well, which, you know, which I really, really like. Probably a bit more watching of the sport these days than the actual doing. But a few too many soccer injuries over the years. At the moment, being soccer season, there's obviously Premier League's finished at the moment, but it's about to start again. Watching some of the local soccer, rugby league, obviously, I like my motor racing, both F1 and the V8s.
Wow, yeah, so, okay.
Yeah, there's been a few nights where I've stayed up to watch F1 races where I probably shouldn't have.
Did you watch this week's one?
I didn't, actually. I watched the replay. I watched the replay. Yeah. As I'm getting a little bit on in the years, it's getting harder to stay up.
It certainly is. I watched the British GP recently, and that got me on the edge of my seat. And I'm not someone who usually screams at the TV, but for that one I did. And it was, I think I watched the replay on like Monday afternoon or something, and I was absolutely screaming at my TV because it was so tight. But that was a good fun. And me and Chris always bond over our love of F1. I don't know where it came from.
No.
But we somehow found out that we both like F1.
That's it.
Chris is a mad Ferrari supporter. You know, just like the rest of the Tifosi, it's a love and hate relationship. But I think everyone's secretly a Ferrari fan.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, but yeah, F1's one of our mutual loves. So you love sport. You got the family. What else?
So I drive around in a little coffee van at the moment.
Yep.
I go out probably 3-4 mornings a week.
Wow.
Which is good fun.
Yeah.
Go to a couple of schools and businesses and that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
A friend of mine recently went out with me in the coffee van. He came home and he said to Janine, "That's not work."
You make it look like not work. That must be the secret. Tell us.
Yeah, I guess.
Why do you say that? Why do you reckon he said that?
I don't know, to be quite honest with you. I guess I enjoy doing what I'm doing. I love talking to people. Absolutely, just, you know, love chatting to people, finding out about them and, you know, how they're going. And sometimes I feel a bit like the hairdresser people download, you know, to me when I'm serving them a coffee.
Yep.
And yeah, I love being out and about and sort of doing my own thing. I was in the police service for 25 years before I started the coffee van. And I was wondering how I was going to go outside the police service because I didn't know if anything, you know, was going to be able.
Yeah. Because you started the police force since you were 19.
Yes.
So plus 25 years, you know, sorry to reveal ages and stuff, you know.
I did exactly 25 years in the police service.
Yeah, that's crazy. And then now you're in the coffee van, which is, you know, cool. It still lets you get out and about, which you obviously enjoy.
It does. It does. Not quite sure where the idea of the coffee van came from, to be honest. I said to Janine that I was going to actually build a coffee trailer.
Yeah, right.
And
that's right. Yeah, it was supposed to be a separate entity, but it became the same thing.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. So we started building the, building the trailer. That took almost 12 months. That was a challenge in itself.
Yeah,
but and then ended up selling the trailer and buying the van. And
did you fit that out yourself as well?
Been good. I did. That's one of my other things that I love doing. I love sort of handyman stuff, renovating and building things. And
we've got a real knack for it. I mean, when I showed up to the house, I remember hearing about all your projects that we've talked about previously, And I wasn't sure if it was the right house, but as soon as I stepped and looked over the front fence, I said, oh, that's right. I'm at the right place. That's right. So, but yeah, you've got a real knack for it. I mean, you clearly do a lot of, you know, projects and stuff like that as well. But I suppose that sort of feeds into what you were speaking about before, how you like getting out and about and chatting to people, because, you know, I've met a lot of people and you've always got a smile on your face, and it's a natural thing that you have. Obviously, you don't always smile, but
most of
the time, you've got a smile on your face. You're a pretty joyful person and you like having a chat to people. Where do you reckon that all comes from?
I guess it's... I've seen a lot of sadness in the world.
Right.
In the police service.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I have a fairly positive attitude now. I didn't always have that. My 25 years in the police service certainly took its toll on me.
Yeah.
And if you had seen me probably, you know, 10 years ago, I was probably a different person.
Yeah. Okay.
But I feel extremely blessed every day.
Yeah.
The fact that, you know, when I left the police service, I sort of thought, oh, that was it. You know, what else am I going to do?
Yeah.
How am I going to pay the bills? Yeah. And, you know, as a dad and a husband, it's kind of like, what do I do now? You know?
Yep.
But to have the opportunities that we've had as a family, I feel very blessed. And I sort of think some days, you know, I still have my panic attacks and my stress and that sort of stuff over things. But generally, I sort of think, you know, I'm upright and breathing, so everything else is a blessing.
Yeah.
You know? And that in itself is a blessing. You know, I thank God for the air in my lungs every day when I get up. You know, sort of sit on the side of the bed and just sort of think it's another day. That's great.
Yeah, I can't imagine that it was something easy to get over in terms of, you know, having such a big chunk of and part of your life, you know, that suddenly came to an end and trying to figure out what's next. That would have been an overnight thing that you had to reconcile that. And as you were saying, it's still something that you think about, you know, and you're trying to, you do deal with. And I do wonder, not that there's a pivotal point, but what do you reckon was the moment or the moments that helped you get to this point now where you're quite happy with where you are, what you're doing? Was there a series of things? What was it like?
It's funny that you asked me that, Zeke, because I've sort of relayed this story to a few people at church from time to time, but I remember standing in the shower one day and I was in absolute tears and I just sort of said, you know, my safety net in the police service is gone.
Yeah.
And as clear as a bell, I just got this thought. I thought God was your safety net.
Yeah.
And to me, that's just, you know, it was like a big whack.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of like, well, everything's going to be okay. You know, you're not going to lose the house. You're not going to, you know, lose the family. And I guess I started to learn that, you know, just because I was a police officer for so long didn't mean I couldn't do anything else.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I started to develop the attitude, I guess, that if someone else can do it, then I can do it. It might take a little bit longer for me or, you know, I might need to learn a bit more. But I sort of thought, well, and that's probably when I came up with the idea of building the coffee trailer.
Yeah, right.
And I just sort of said, you know, going to build a coffee trailer. And
yep.
I think Janine was a little bit horrified at first. But, and understandably. Yep. But I think as it started to sort of take progress, you know, and take shape, it was probably one of the best things for me because it allowed me to stop and slow down. And I guess be creative in what I was building.
Yeah.
And I think other than that particular point, I think it was a gradual, you know, changeover.
Yeah.
To de-policify, I guess, if that's a term.
Yeah, that's certainly.
And look at the world, you know, from sort of a different way.
Yeah, it's funny that when we spend so long in life doing a certain thing, it's hard for us to see that there's any other things that we could do out there. You're sort of saying that. Yes. It's like hard to imagine what else you could be doing. And
yes,
even when we start taking those small steps, we realize, hey, wait a second, I actually have some skills. I actually have some other passions that I can dig into.
Definitely.
And, you know, for yourself, that's obviously a lot of the handyman job stuff that you love doing. I see your face light up when you talk about it. And, you know, doing the coffee van thing, that must be something that lights you up as well. Because just before you were telling me that you could be serving three times the amount of coffees, but nope, you do stop and have a chat with everyone.
I do. Yes, definitely.
Because, I mean, you bring a smile to people and there's so much you can learn about other people, which is what you were telling me. Yeah, even this morning, you're having a chat with at the grocery store.
Yeah. I was, there's a lady this morning that the poor thing, they'd had a few people go sick and just nothing was working for her.
Yeah.
And, you know, she sort of said to me, I'd asked her how her day was and she sort of downloaded a little bit that, yeah, you know, all these things that people were sick and the machines weren't working. And I just sort of said to her, you know, oh, hang in there, you're doing a good job. And she sort of said to me as I was leaving, you know, thank you for being understanding and being so nice. And yeah, I just sort of said to her, I said, you know, what's the point of getting upset and in the grocery store?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
In the big scheme of life, it's, you know, if you've got to wait till she fixes the computer, well, so be it.
So be it, exactly. So be it. Yeah, take life at a slower pace. I mean, what's the hurry? What's the rush? What's the worry? I mean, world keeps turning.
And it does.
I like what you said before, that moment in the shower when you realize that God's your safety net. I mean, clearly the gospel, God has completely transformed the way you think about life, because if it was anyone else in the shower who doesn't know God, I don't know if such a thought would come to them, right? And
yeah.
I mean, even seeing the way that you talk about life right now with your family, with how you deal with work and everything, all your day-to-day stuff, it's clear that God does influence how you think about things. Even when you were describing before about how, you know, Tegan's going to get married to a nice, you know, godly man. So I do wonder, how does God transform the way you think about work? Because that was something that we talked about in the sermon this week, where now that we are Christians, as a people, we are a new people, which means that we have things like a new moral compass, we have a new motivation of love and serving others instead of for ourselves. And I think you live that out. For yourself, how does that transform your life? Or, I mean, you've always been have you always been a happy guy, or is it?
Yeah. I guess I've generally been pretty happy. You know, I said to my dad once, I lived such a sheltered childhood, and he sort of said to me, no, you didn't, you lived a loving childhood.
Mm.
And I sort of thought about that and sort of went, yeah, that's very true, you know. So had a very loving childhood, and you know, there were obviously times, you know, when things weren't easy growing up, sort of getting picked on at school and not necessarily getting the grades that I wanted to get. And then, you know, even sort of during my service in the police service, there were lots of ups and downs, and, you know, the world seemed like a crazy place. And you sort of see the, I don't know, I guess you see the only one sort of side of the world. Mm. But then I guess since leaving there and starting the coffee van, it's now, you know, we're very, very blessed, as I say. Every day I thank God for, you know, for blessing us as a family and blessing me. And the coffee van for me, I don't sort of see it as I need to run this business in order to make money to provide for the family. It's, yes, Janine has gone back to work full time, and, you know, so I do other things now, sort of the grocery shopping and, you know, things, the accounts at home and that, that she used to do. And yeah, I sort of, the way that I look at my work in the coffee van now is to just provide, you know, a little bit of, I guess, enjoyment for people for the day, having their coffee.
Yeah.
I often have groups of guys, you know, standing around the back of the coffee van having a chat. Gives them 5-10 minutes away from work.
Yep.
And we sort of talk about all sorts of things, you know. And yeah, I guess God is influencing me in those ways, in that I'll just be driving along in the van and I'll sort of think of one of my customers and sort of, you know, say a little prayer for them, or be driving along and think of one of my mates and, you know, say a prayer for them. And yeah.
Yeah. So God's really shaped, I suppose, the way you think about things.
Yes.
And even hearing you talk about how you operate the coffee van, it gives me a sense that I could imagine there's several ways to run a coffee van, that, you know, you're thinking about the profits. That's certainly one way. Or you're thinking about, okay, how can I expand this network and how can I do this for me? But that's really not your motivation so much anymore these days. I think there's an element that you go, okay, yeah, this is still something that, you know, I make a few dollars out of. To me, it sounds like you care more about the people and the activity and that the fact that you get to do it, and it's such a privilege and a blessing. And I think that really changes how you view a lot of things, really, doesn't it? I mean,
I think it does. You know, I'll have someone say to me, "Oh, you know, I don't have enough money in the account. I'll get you next time you come around," sort of thing. And I just sort of say to them, "Yeah, that's fine." And sometimes they remember, sometimes they don't. If they don't, I just sort of let it slide, you know. It's, I think, you know, if I can give you a cup of coffee and that helps you, then, you know, that's a good thing. And with the van as well, you know, I could probably, to be quite honest, I'm probably busy enough to have 2 or 3 vans going.
Yeah.
But I just don't want the stress, to be honest.
Yeah, right. I mean, that takes a certain amount of maturity to also recognize.
Yeah, I think it does. I really think it does, you know, yeah. Because, you know, with one coffee van, I'm never going to be a millionaire. But if I look at, you know, how I'm blessed with a roof over our heads and with a beautiful wife and beautiful daughters, then, you know, I'm a millionaire in other ways, ten times over.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's such a great way to think about life, that we don't have to be a millionaire in one area because we might already be in other areas.
In other areas, that's it. That's it. You know?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think just knowing where you're already, let's say, winning or blessed in life, that changes a lot about how we act in all of our other areas of life.
I think it does. And it doesn't, you know, always make life easy.
Yeah.
And I still have my struggles, you know. See people doing silly things on the road, I sort of revert back to that policeman mode, I guess, and, you know, probably get a bit angry when I shouldn't. But I think generally my days at work don't seem like chores. It seems easy enough for me to, you know, I really enjoy what I do.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thanks, Chris. That's Chris. And I just saw on your shirt, Chris, it's called the Picnic Basket Cafe. I like that. I like that name. Thanks. Check him around at whatever school it is on the third or four, 3 or 4 days a week. You'll have to try and find out where those spots are. But that's Chris. And yeah, look, Chris, that's really cool stuff. Thanks for sharing all of that. I thought it was, really insightful to hear about how you view life. And, you know, yeah, it was a real privilege and joy to be able to chat with you some more and hear more about your life. Now, one of the things that we do here on the podcast is we look at some questions that people have asked. And Chris, I think you'll be able to help us answer this.
Answer
I think.
These?
Yeah, why not? Okay, so the one for this week is, what advice would you give to someone who has a job that prevents them from fully engaging on Sundays or in a midweek Bible study? How important is that?
I think it's very important. I do think it's a difficult situation, right? Because in the secular world that we live in with, you know, cost of living, and we're always hearing about the doom and gloom. And I think it is a difficult position because we do obviously need to earn money to live in society. But I know Janine and I always say the one thing that really helped us when my health wasn't well, was being connected to a church.
Yeah.
And even, you know, more recently when Janine's dad wasn't well, and the struggles that the whole family was going through, was being connected to a church really, it really helped us.
Yep.
You know, I think it's important to prioritize things in life. And I think that includes work. Certainly includes, you know, church and church gatherings. And where do you prioritize those things?
Yeah. Because certainly some people wouldn't be in jobs that allow them to necessarily attend on a Sunday morning. So I could imagine, even for yourself as, you know, a police, you'd get shift work. Well, any shift work is really, you know, working retail. I used to work in retail, sometimes couldn't do Sundays, or nursing, whatever it is. There might be things that prevent you from gathering.
Definitely.
And how you adjust to those things. Like you said, you've got to prioritize what's important. It's not that you have to necessarily quit your job.
No.
And it shouldn't be a legalistic thing where you say, well, you know, I have to attend church or I have to attend Bible studies, but it's about amount of priorities. And if you can work around them, then that's great. But if you can't, then, you know, that's all. It could just be a season. It could be, you know, there is an importance to stay connected, certainly. Yeah, but how you do that is not necessarily just by sticking to a regimented schedule.
No, that's exactly right. And, you know, it's the same with families with, you know, young children.
Right, yeah.
You know, if the kids have had a bit of a rough night, or the whole family's had a bit of a rough night, sometimes we used to find it was very difficult to get to church on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
So, you know, for a while we were going to an evening church service. And, I mean, these days it's even, you know, just getting on and watching the live stream, at least getting that, you know, that word from the scripture, you know, when you can, I think it certainly helps with the rest of your life.
Yeah. Are there ways that people can help each other in this? So if you do know someone who's a bit more disconnected, or you haven't seen them in a while, what do you reckon you'd do in those situations?
I think reach out to them.
Yeah.
You know, see if you can catch up for a coffee.
Yeah.
If they drink coffee.
Yep.
Shout them a coffee, and you know, it's amazing how $4 or $5 cup of coffee can make a huge difference to someone's life when they can sit down and chat to you.
Yeah.
And there might be, you know, things going on that you're not aware of, things in their life that they're really struggling with.
Yeah.
And it's difficult because we've all got, you know, busy lives. And you were talking about, you know, sort of being in retail, and once upon a time, you know, shops were closed on Saturdays and Sundays.
Yeah, that's
and
right, yeah.
Now it's 7 days a week, so life seems to be a little bit busier in general. I think sometimes as a society we sort of create that upon ourselves. Yeah, I think when you can sort of try and connect with people, take them out for a coffee, shout them a coffee.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, just reaching out even by messaging, because I know you're one of those guys who sends me messages from time to time when you've thought about me, and, you know, that really does make a difference in the day or the week. I go, oh, that's nice, just to get a nice little word of encouragement from Chris. And so I certainly think in those moments when you think about someone, don't be afraid to just shoot them a message.
Yes,
it doesn't have to say a lot, you know. Right. It could be, hey, I've just been thinking about you. Haven't been seeing you around, so hope everything's all right. And that'd make a world of a difference.
It can, you know. I've had messages from people myself when, you know, it's just what I needed that day. You know, it's been a really hard day, or things haven't been going right, and boom, you know, there's a message to say, you know, thinking of you, or even just, you know, how you traveling. So yeah, I think that's important.
Yeah, stay up to date with people.
With people, yeah.
Church is not just the physical church. Church is, you know, us as a body of people of Christ together.
It is.
And I imagine that as we support each other through different things, and it might even just be, you know, I've got a young kid at the moment, and I've seen when people are happy to take him for about 5 minutes just in the middle of service when he's run after whatever it is, you know, that makes a world of a difference as well. Just these little gestures. So, so I'd say, to that question about if you have a job that prevents you from fully engaging, well, then there's other ways to connect. There's other ways to stay plugged in, and don't need to be legalistic about it, but it's also a matter of priorities. No. And maybe there are things that you want to do to make that adjustment, but it's also okay to not necessarily have to in this season, whatever that might be.
That's it. Don't be too hard on yourself as well, you know, because there may be a reason, as you say, you know, you're on shift work at a particular time, or there's something that's in your job that's causing that to happen, and that may free up over time.
Yeah.
So
you could be doing something for 25, 30 years, and then things change, and then it's tough, but it's in the moment, and it could also be a blessing in disguise.
Very true. Very true.
So, who knows?
Who knows indeed?
Who knows indeed? So we just live a day at a time, but we keep encouraging each other, and I suppose that's really all we can do.
Just exactly, you know, hold each other up and keep praying for each other and keep, I guess, as you say, holding each other up, you know. Because it's, once again, I come back to the, you know, we've not meant to live or do life alone.
Yeah.
So, you know, we need our family and our friends and our church family. Yep. Definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
Awesome. All right, Chris. Well, to round things off, tell us what's your current projects going on right now, whether it's around the house or whether it's... maybe a new upgrade to the coffee van. You've always got something going on. I know you do.
I do. building a bit of a fire pit area at the moment out the front of the house.
Yeah? What sort of style is that going to be?
So it's, I guess, a U-shaped U-shaped area, paved, a little outdoor barbecue and an outdoor sink, and then a gas fire pit.
How do you power that? Is like with a gas bottle or
a gas bottle? Yeah, okay, yeah, a little gas bottle and some nice sparkly rocks on the top so the flames bounce and dance. And that's the idea, anyway. As to the coffee van, no, I don't think there's any major upgrades coming on at the moment. Other than putting a new sticker on the rear door of the coffee van.
That's fair.
That's all been going pretty well. Yeah, so that's probably my major project at the moment. And paying the bills for the wedding, I guess.
Oh, man, that'll be a tough one. But all right, well, thanks, Chris. It was awesome to have you on. You're such a pleasure to chat to. Always a pleasure to chat to. Encourage you guys, if you haven't met Chris before at church, go up and say hi. Absolutely lovely fellow. Yeah, with his permission, of course. Don't just swarm him. but when you look around, you see that guy with a big smile on his face. That's Chris.
Or come to Kingdom Cart and get a coffee.
Come to Kingdom Cart and get a coffee, because you're operating that too sometimes, from time to time.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great. Have a coffee with someone. Reach out to those people. Yeah. Thanks, Chris, once again. That was so great to have you on. Have a great one.
Thanks, Zeke. Thanks for having me. And quick shout out to April, who's not with you today.
Oh, yeah. We'll shout her out. Yep. All right. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Zeke.